All right, welcome back. Welcome back to a late night. Green Box Gaming plays Delta Green Impossible Landscapes.
Sexy edition.
This is bullshit. Unless, it's early morning.
Yeah, unless you're in South Africa and then it's 6 o'clock in the damn morning.
We'll have a very spooky night. And John will just have an anxiety-filled day.
Is that the inverse of a spooky night? Is an anxiety-ridden morning?
That's been my experience.
My name is Joe. I'm going to be handling for this. And I'm joined by our very much awake morning boy, John.
Hi, Joe. Hi.
Yes, it's good that you're joining us with the morning sunlight beaming in. I'm sure it's going to be another balmy South African day. Is it often balmy there? Is that an adjective
sure.
you use?
No, okay. Never, but yes.
Okay, all right. Of course, also joined by Brad, playing Hank.
Hello.
Always can trust in Brad to get right to the point. And of course, Dace playing Busiek.
Rootin' and tootin', dude.
Just rootin'.
Let's do this. I'm fucking here for it.
It is, so due to the fact that there is this... Let's talk about our gripes with gratitude and having a whole day set aside for it. And
not
how,
a fan, because I don't get it.
You know the thing I hate most about it? Is that it fucks with the recording schedule. So here we are, trying to blow through this as quick as possible.
Like, week is going to be so packed. Mary and I just put up Christmas to be done with it.
Just, and it's not even, you guys, what's wrong with this country?
No, like, Mary didn't want to because Thanksgiving is her favorite holiday.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think I've
always
ever...
knew there was something wrong with it.
Yeah.
What is all the food?
What if
food?
You just like
the food.
Put a big old turkey on the top of the tree, then you get like 2-for-1.
Ooh,
dude, that'd be hilarious. John. We should do that. That's a great idea. I'm gonna tell that to Mary.
Well, even
no,
if you can't do all
come home and there's
even
a
if you can't do
top.
A whole even if you can't do a whole turkey, you could do a chicken, right? That's pretty. That's a little smaller, a little more manageable.
Just a raw ass chicken, just right up her ass on the spear point of the tree.
Dace, don't be ridiculous. It would be cooked. And dripping.
And you're right.
It's
Joe.
Got a cloaca.
I apologize. I was over the line.
It'll be like flies around it by the end of the month.
Just rotting meat dripping from the tree.
And if you leave it up long enough, it could be a Halloween decoration the next year.
I mean, I never have to deal with
just as the whole tree is just rotted, falling
festival
apart.
Festival tree.
How horrific.
Oh, I regret nothing.
Imagine stringing did you guys ever, so my grandmother had us string popcorn together with thread and put it around a tree. So what if you did that with chicken liver and then you left it up the entire year?
Sausages, links.
Uncooked sausages.
Meaty Christmas.
And what if the Christmas tree was also made of meat? And
well, okay. we're getting into another holiday. This is something else that our ancestors did a long time ago.
Americans have another meat tree day. It's in April. Jean, do they not celebrate meat tree day?
What is?
I'm out of this one.
Okay.
Are you calling Jesus Christ a meat tree?
No.
If his rebirth on April?
That's what I was thinking.
Oh, is it? Oh, it's in April. Oh, no, sorry. I wasn't making an Easter joke.
Okay. Well, now
you have. That makes sense, yeah.
Anyway, well, listen, speaking of horrific things to just fall right into the middle to, love, let's talk about Delta Green Impossible Landscapes. How about that?
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you, Brad.
Could do either.
Yeah. thank you, John, for the apathy. Last time we did have a bit of a roller coaster. You guys, Hank, Benedict, and Busiek, after arriving in Yatil at the shores of Lake Hali, at the edge of the ruined city of Yatil, descended in these strange longboats down through the cloud waves, the cloud sea of Hali, down and toward the city beneath, this other Yatil that is deep down below. You guys, as you did this, you encountered some of these massive creatures. These massive creatures that are swimming slowly through, and not only that, you ran across some of these portals, these, let's call them what they are, these mirrors that you guys have encountered previously that were all floating kind of throughout the lake itself. You guys descended down, 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 and came into conflict with some of these creatures that seem to be like some type of like symbiotic, mutualistic type, you know, parasite hanging on to these giant whale creatures. You guys came into contact with them and realized that you were falling precipitously down towards the city. It was like there was a bit there where it was like, oh, this combat's kind of dragging. And then it's like, oh, we're not dragging now. Like, as you guys plummeted down from the cloud sky into the secret city of Yatil, colliding. And in one of the most heroic things I think I have seen, it might be the most heroic moment of our entire Delta Green playthrough. We all know that Busiek saved
you
Benedict.
He's a goddamn hero.
What a hero. Well,
you know, it's just another fucking day in the just life or whatever.
For a firefighter, right? They save people. That's what they do. Right?
Just gonna gaslight Brad's reality.
Brad, do you have anything to say?
Who else has a joke in? I got a joke in. That's my proof.
Fair point.
And I was thinking about this. I already mentioned this today involving our music, but I think this is a better idea. We should make a meme coin called Joken, and it's the currency we use on Greenbox Gaming.
Like a cryptocurrency?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And then we sell that off to our followers. Right. And
henceforth, everybody that is subscribed to our Patreon, your subscription is now void unless you pay in jokens. I'm sorry. Like, I'm deeply sorry from the bottom of my heart.
Listen, it's coming from the top down. Like, we really
we don't make these decisions.
I don't know what I'm saying. But you guys, Hank, in one of the most heroic things that's probably ever happened in our series, saved Benedict narrowly. It still could have gone poorly. Just rocketing down as Benedict, and then Busiek miraculously healing Benedict for this massive amount of hit points, basically single-handedly saving his life between the two of you guys. Benedict is now here with zero willpower, at having crashed down through like all this debris onto the street in Yatil, and rising up in the distance with these big kind of like Eastern European like bulb topped towers. Somehow like it like the tower the you see lit brilliantly, covered in barrage balloons, which are these big balloons held down by chains to keep dive bombers away. You see in the distance, seemingly so close, but you know it to be insanely far away at the same time. You see the palace. You see the palace of Yatil, a palace for which you all are bound. Now, let's do a little bit of talking about what's going on right around you guys. You guys have reached the up top. That was Yatil. And that was very much Yatil. This is also Yatil that you're in now. This is the secret city as opposed to the ruined city. But it is very much, and as you look around, you see that the architecture is very similar. But at the same time, at the edges of your periphery, in the edges of your vision, the buildings kind of ripple. That even as maybe as you turn away from one side street and back, you see that now, instead of it terminating in a brick wall with some trash cans, you see that there's like a little plaza on the other side of it. You are immediately, all three of you are immediately very aware. This, you're not in Kansas anymore. Like, the night world, that was one thing. This is going to be a hard one.
What does the palace look like? Is it the same architecture, or is it like something more alien?
In a way, it is alien, especially in the way that it seems to stand. It doesn't seem like it would be architecturally sound. The top seems too big, and the tower seems too tall. And maybe the designs that you can maybe make out, and you see flapping banners and flags in the far distance, maybe you can just barely make out on the very tip of these kind of, again, like these, imagine like the top of the Kremlin, right? Which is like these bulbs that end in these like sharp points. At the very tip, you can just barely make out these flapping yellow shapes at the top of it all. But right around you, it is quiet. It is deathly quiet. Not a single sound. Not the sound of a car or anyone moving. And the lights, there's no lights anywhere. There are street lights, but they're not lit. And you guys are here with Benedict in a bundle. Now, previously, Benedict had managed to get himself to zero willpower.
By saving everyone.
Yes, by heroically... by heroically failing to stop the boat from going faster.
Well, I guess Hank kind of like... he's not doing super hot, but he's definitely stable. Kind of like lurches up, and he's like, Busiak, are you alright?
Oh. Actually, yeah.
You're fine.
Yeah, I'm actually feeling pretty fucking good. Surprisingly. How are you doing, Hank? You okay?
And remember, Busiak, you also patched up Hank a little bit. Not as well as you did Benedict.
Definitely felt better. We need to... if I have a vote, I say we need to carry Benedict to get into cover quick. Some abandoned building or something around here has to have shelter.
Yeah, let's scout around a little bit. And then maybe we can do some sort of check.
Yeah. Find... well, what does Benedict have to say about this?
Isn't he unconscious? Morning.
No, he's not
sleeping,
unconscious.
Oh.
Sleeping pill.
I thought zero willpower meant you were like...
well, Benedict, you open your eyes and you feel suddenly that you have been just miraculously healed. You know, as Busiak's been doing this, but, you know, Benedict, you feel fine. You're not unconscious. You're not unresponsive. You're fine.
What?
Hey, Benny. Benny. And he's like kind of slapping your face a little bit.
Yeah.
You with me?
Yeah.
How you feeling, man?
Did you say...
You took a big fucking tumble there.
Busiak, you're my fucking hero, man. You're my hero.
Hey, it's what I do.
So humble.
Hank, well, did you find anything to do while Busiak was saving me?
Was saving...
You know what? Maybe this is about a good time for us to part ways. It's been nice and everything, but...
I know you're talking to Busiak, but I'm just imagining you're just telling these two that you're leaving.
Like, that's what I'm like, saying.
Oh, okay.
Okay, wait. Quick meta interjection. Like, how do I manage this, Joe? Is it just behaving as normal? We ignore the zero willpower.
Don't worry about it, Jean. You're fine.
No, as a character, like, I'm away.
Jean, you're nothing. Fine. Don't God. Worry about it. Just play the cool. game. What are you doing?
Hank will roll a search to determine if there's a building that looks more secure out of the...
okay.
That's 20 out of 70.
Okay, success. It doesn't take long. It does not take long for you to be able to find just a place. And some of the buildings do indeed have their... It looks like some of their doors, like, maybe kicked or broken in. You know, it doesn't take... And Hank, you having a little bit of background law enforcement, it doesn't take much for you to figure out, okay, like, this door was definitely jimmied open, like, with a crowbar, pretty... And they weren't trying to hide it, right? It looks like maybe some of the buildings have been broken in, and some of the doors are just hanging open. You appear to be in a very residential-type area, but there is, again, this little barricade that you kind of fell into. It looks like, you know, and as you look around, you might even be able to pick up evidence of a gunfight. Shell casings on the ground, and, you know, maybe some bullet holes. But if you want to find a place that appears safe, you could probably find pretty easily, let's say, just like either an apartment or a shop would be easy enough. And so you want to try to go in one of these places, or?
Y'all want to, I think we should go into an apartment and do at least a short rest and see what happens in our surroundings just laying low.
Okay. Who's going to lead the charge here? It sounds like Hank.
Pistol Hank.
Well, why doesn't our hero do it? You know, he seems way more qualified than me.
Hey, don't call me a hero. This is my job. This is what I do.
So humble.
I just need an answer, guys.
Yeah, right?
Busiak will take the lead.
Okay. Why doesn't Busiak roll me a sanity roll?
Okay. Roll insanity. What is that? Failure for Busiak.
Failure. Okay.
I don't know about this place, guys.
Let's see. Okay. So... Busiak, as you guys are walking, trying to find like a secure place, you find a place. In fact, Busiak, you make your way. There appears to be almost like it looks a bit maybe been like a butcher shop or something. And you try the door, and it
Ooh,
seems
cozy.
To be, it seems to be open.
Meat.
I really like the meat hooks.
Right, but it seems to have been completely ransacked, basically. And, you know, even maybe the cash register is, like, open and, like, on the ground, you know, and maybe, you know, just, like, a single bill or two kind of stuck in it.
Okay.
Seems like a suitable spot.
I don't need to take any damage for that roll.
Don't worry about it, man. What are you doing? Don't worry about it.
Joe.
This is very disconcerting.
I don't like what you're doing. I don't like what you're doing, Joe.
I don't know. Look, man. The book says stuff. I'm just doing the book. You know. Look.
Hank will do another search in this building, specifically looking for maybe even a more proficient weapon than it are, if possible.
In the butcher shop,
had the same idea.
Well, it was a war. You said it was a war zone as well, so I don't know.
You've seen evidence of that. I would say that there is, as you guys, like, it doesn't take much, you know, willpower or much perceptive skill. Like, as you guys are, like, making your way to this butcher shop, which is still pretty close to where you crash landed, you can hear that between you from the direction of the palace, you hear the faraway sounds of combat. You know, you might even see streaking through the sky, you know, some type of, you know, like an airplane or something like that. Benedict Farthington. Don't you have military history or something like that?
I have history and military science.
All right. Give me a military science or a history, whichever one you want. How about that?
That's a fumble.
Okay.
A fumble, you say?
Yes.
You see these things streak through the air. You don't know what they are. I'll find some other way to punish you here in a minute.
We're back in New York.
You see one of the planes that hits the Twin Towers just.
Oh shit!
No, that's so too, too soon, guys.
Maybe. So we're in this butcher shop, and Hank and Busiek are thinking the same thing, maybe in different ways. But Busiek's like, Hank, you ever seen that movie, Old Country for No Men?
What?
Yeah.
Wait,
you remember
that's who my whole character is based off of.
Serial killer, Anton Chigurh, and he had like sort of like a little thing, like a bolt action like thing that killed cattle.
Yeah.
I wonder if we could find one of those in this here butcher shop.
Why don't you have a look?
Yes, I will take a look.
I would think a gun would be far more efficient than a compressed air powered needle of sorts.
I'm sort of an ideas guy.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's a failure on that search roll.
What'd you roll?
For a 60 over 40.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, you're not able to find anything.
So
it could have been fun. That's all I'm saying.
It could have been.
I'm no genius here, guys, but it looks like we're in the fringe of a war zone. Do you reckon we maybe hole up and board up? Should we try to maybe protect ourselves from this creepy city that we just crash landed on in a boat floating through fog?
At the very least, hold up here for a couple of hours.
Board it up? I could use some sleep.
Okay.
Where are the exits? Busiek? Our hero?
Well, let me tell you about exits on a building.
Well, you know, like, there's probably, you know, if you guys are looking for something, you know, you could probably find, like, upstairs from this place, there probably is a small apartment that, you know, probably has, like, basically like a one-way-in, one-way-out kind of thing that, you know, you probably feel a little comfortable if you just want to barricade yourself in. This bottom level has really good view of the street, so you could really know if someone was coming, but it's got these big open glass windows kind of thing.
Maybe we'll take shifts, but enough for everybody to have a rest. Whoever's on the lookout can stay here at the bottom level.
Yeah, I'll take first shift.
I'll take sleeping shift.
Okay. And Benedict will sleep first. Okay, well, if that's what you're going to do, then everyone go ahead and click your buttons to redo any failures that you have recently done. We'll go ahead and kind of peel through all this.
Joe, I know you were a bit touchy about the subject, but is there any willpower recovery mechanism from sleeping?
Of course there is. You get your regular willpower back. 1d6, unless you have insomnia.
I don't.
Okay, it sounds like you're going to roll a 1d6.
5! Yes!
5, good. Alright, you're back above.
Awesome. And what do I roll for hit points?
Well, I believe you just get back. I think you roll a constitution check, and if you pass, you get back 1 hit point.
Success.
Failure for me.
7.
Okay, you get back nothing. On a you bag nothing on a failure. That being said,
do you guys have willpower, by the way? Do you need to recover willpower? Okay.
Well, Busiek's still awake right now.
Oh,
right.
Yes.
So I can't roll that yet.
Yes, Busiek, while you are downstairs, while the other two are presumably resting. There is a moment where you're down here and you're looking at the signage up in the butcher shop. you know, sure. There's like, you know, signs with prices and like little pictures of meat and stuff like that. Okay. And maybe even you rifle around a little bit, you know, and there might be like a, I don't know, there might be, you know, like some books and stuff like that. But it's very clear that this is not English. It's very clear this is a strange language. And Busiak, unless I'm mistaken, is Czech.
Yep.
And did we say that Busiak has Czech as a foreign language? He definitely should if he grew up with Czech parents who were immigrants.
It's not on my character sheet. I'm sorry, Joe. No.
It sounds like you don't speak Czech.
Yes, that is completely
taking
reasonable
a hard
to
assume. Line.
Hard line.
Well, and I think that the typical, I think if you're like a natural speaker, I think it's like a 60. So like we're gonna say you're a 60, so you can throw that on there if you want. But you know, this language is familiar, you know, so Czech does not use Cyrillic. It uses like Latin alphabet. But you're familiar with Russian, and this does seem Russian-y to you, but you're still kind of unfamiliar with it. So, yeah. But when you are looking at this, as you're kind of looking at this, I want you to give me another sanity check.
Okay. What is that? Oh, success. 7 under 66.
Okay. So you're like looking through, you know, like some, looks like maybe some receipts or something like this. Like, so here's my question. How interested is Busiak in reading this right now?
Receipts?
Yeah, at least this will be receipts, stuff with the business. There's like some papers on the floor. It looks like someone got out of here in a hurry.
Not very. I mean, he's just doing surveillance. Like, okay. Maybe if he gets extremely bored, he would look into it, but...
You know, there probably is a moment where you are sitting here, maybe extremely bored, and you are kind of looking up the meat, like these like little signs, and there is a moment where it's almost like the letters are starting to swim, like, on the board. Like, okay. They're starting to move.
Yeah.
And by Imagine Busiak, he shakes his head, and just like, nope, back on track. Yeah. And I would say that you guys go through your shifts and you each get a little bit of sleep. You each get a little bit of rest. So Busiak, if you want to roll your willpower, your D6 of willpower to get back. And if you want to roll your constitution check and get back a single hit point if you pass.
When Hank awakens to go to his shift... Benedict like rolls over. They've been spooning, or not so much, but now
naturally.
They're spooning. It's like, don't
get off
just
me.
Yet. No, Hank.
Told you never again.
I need
Hank,
this.
Hank, I know it was you. You're still. I know it was you. I want you to know that you're important. You're important to me.
He's whispering it in your ear as he's
you're
spooning.
Important.
Hank rolls over and pulls the cover. He's like,
no.
I'm just
don't be that way.
And a little tear comes down his eye, but he tries to hide it.
You're my bond. I miss Benji, but you're my boy. Now go protect us, you big brave bastard.
You slap his ass as he gets out of bed. All right.
Well, okay, Hank, you know, he's a little. Tears up a little bit, but hides it from Benedict. And on his shift, can I roll an alertness? Because Hank wants to... I mean, he's going to obviously take everybody's what they want to do in account, but he wants to beeline it for the palace, but he wants to avoid gunfire or whatever battle's going on if he can. Can he roll an alertness as he's sitting there, see if there's a particular area or route or even direction where there's the least amount of gunfire.
You can roll an alertness. All right. There, you get... It's hard to tell if there's any particular pattern, you know, but To be frank, Hank, it seems like everything ahead of you is like, it's weird. Like, maybe even Hank might go out on the street, you know, and stay right there by the shop. You know, he's like out on the street, like kind of looking around, kind of being cool, you know, keeping his head on a swivel, that kind of thing. Hank, you get this feeling as you face the palace and you hear the sound of warfare, you know, diving planes, artillery pieces firing in the distance, and then their explosions, the sound of small arms fire, you know, popping off. As you stand there and you turn and look back over your shoulder away from the palace, you just get this feeling of just complete and utter emptiness back away from the palace. And it's just, and as you sit and you look, and it's just like the palace rises up and it seems so close because it's so big. You just seem like almost like overwhelmed by the whole thing. And you do not think that there is a way to the palace that does not probably go through this damn war zone.
Well, there's one other thing I want to do before we...
Okay.
At the very least, since I got a that's on the alert, could I find clothing that would help us blend in with this environment so we just don't look like fish out of water here, like we actually look like we belong here?
Okay. Roll me a... You know, you guys went upstairs to this apartment. Roll me a sanity check.
Can I search?
Me?
Yeah. One moment. Okay.
Inspired joyous bread.
Okay. As you guys, as you, Brad, you're going up in the, you go back up to the apartment, or maybe even you're able like to go to like one of the buildings next door, or we'll say you go to the apartment there above the butcher shop as these two guys are sleeping, trying to be quiet. There is, you're searching around, and it seems like everyone kind of emptied the place out. You know, maybe even like you can see like where they're, a place where there might have been some pictures on the mantle and stuff like that, but it looks like it's all been snatched and taken, like all the valuables. Looks like someone might have taken a handful of silver utensils, you know, like out of the, you know, or maybe fine china or something. It looks like a lot of the valuables have been taken quickly, and like personal effects are gone. As you're looking through all of this, there's a moment where you turn and like you open the door to where these guys are. And then you hear just the slightest, tiniest thud behind you in the hallway.
Hey, quickly turns around and looks.
You turn around and look, you know, and imagine, I assume Hank's armed, correct?
Yeah.
You turn around, weapon up, and there is, at the end of the hallway, seemingly like... It looks very appropriate. It looks like almost like it was already there. Like it was always there, but you're not sure it was. There's a small chest. It definitely fits in with everything else here. It's a little bit askew. It's like almost like a steamer trunk. Looks like maybe someone was trying to leave with it and then left it.
Hank goes over and opens it.
Okay.
Are we together?
Okay. You go over and you open it. Wait, was that a success or a failure? Oh, that's a failure. You go over, Hank. Can you roll me a 1d4, please?
It's one of those chests with teeth.
Ooh.
When you open them.
Yeah, have you ever heard of a mimic?
It's a mimic chest.
You open this chest, and as you do, you open it, and the chest is full of water. Like, you open it, and it's just, you know, slightly sloshing water. And as you are standing there and looking into it, you're like, kind of like, there's a moment where you're like, what the fuck? And Hank, you suddenly very quickly see the face of a extremely old man kind of come up to the top of the water, and then his arms reach out and grab you. And he grabs Hank and pulls his face down into the water.
All right.
Hank, take that 2 sanity damage as Hank falls back on his ass, drenching, sopping wet, sitting in front of a chest, this steamer trunk that is completely empty.
Hank shakes it off, barely holding on, as he only has 1 point before he breaks. Kicks the chest away.
Oh shit! No, that's a problem.
I'm sorry, Hank. I apologize. I really want to do all that I just did to you, but I'm not gonna fuck you on this. Roll a D100. Just roll the D100. Tell me what you get.
32.
Okay, yes, that's exactly what happens. Don't ask questions.
What are you getting at, box?
He kicks the chest away and just like scrounges to his feet and like opens the door where everybody's. He's like, fellas, we gotta get out of here. We're not safe.
Hank, you look crazy. Yeah. Have you forgotten Meatball?
He's wet.
Oh, I actually have. Meatball. That way. Let's go the other way.
Oh, yeah, good to know. Busiak, like, what the fuck are we talking about?
What are you talking about?
Busiak, just... Whenever someone says meatball, do not look. Do not even attempt to interact with anything that's meatballed.
That's the rule.
It seems like a bullshit code name.
That is exactly right.
Who the fuck came up with meatball?
I did. Thank you very much.
All right, whatever. Well, it's fucking meatball.
Yeah. So you guys are going to bamboos?
Yes. Can I do a quick search if there's anything of value? We're in, what, the foyer of the...
Sure.
Or we're outside the shop now? Where are we?
Sure, you can make a quick search on your guys' way out. That's, I don't care.
That's a success. 43
under 63. Roll a D100, please. Is there anything particular that you want right now? Like what is Benedict interested in?
Some cloaks. I want us to blend in cloaks. Like hobos of Harley.
You want hobo cloaks?
Yes. 72.
That's a weird thing to say. I would say that you do find maybe like a piece or two of clothing that are like maybe still stuck in like one of the little closets there. But they're very old timey.
I want the beanie.
Give me anyone would give me a history check on these clothes.
I shall.
Give me a history check.
And I shall fail.
And he shall fail. Yeah, you can't place it. They're old timey. You know, probably turn of the century kind of thing.
Yeah, take these, boyos.
But it's basically it's like a single jacket and like one of those flat caps.
Yeah, sure, whatever. And Busiak will put it on top of his mannequin armor.
Mad Max.
Also, I don't know if there's such a thing as passive perception in Delta Green. Oh, actually, I know that there's not. If we're ever in the vicinity of an angle grinder, Busiak is constantly searching for an angle grinder.
But... So for those listening, Dace has cracked
the code. I think
there's
some character bleed happening.
Yes, Dace has cracked the code on the world's master key, which is an angle grinder. It can get you into any situation.
A DeWalt angle grinder with ample battery supply and a cutoff wheel. Can get you into lots of places.
Lots of places.
And this has spanned multiple campaigns. And this started, this might have started before we started this podcast. I think this started when we were doing Control Group.
It did. Yes.
So if there is ever an angle grinder in any room, Busiek is on high alert, and that's all he wants.
Yeah. What I'm going to do is I'm going to, when I create a Busiek-specific death trap, I'm just going to leave like a breadcrumb trail of angle grinders. And at the end of it, it's going to be a big cardboard box with a stick, like holding it up.
He would die. He would take it. It's so valuable.
So yeah. So you guys are back out on the street then.
Did you say we've got like two half-assed disguises?
They're not disguises.
Is it just extra?
Busiek just has a jacket and a hat on.
God damn it!
And I imagine the jacket is like too small for him. You know, so he's kind of like just
Busiek,
like
you look ridiculous. Give that to Hank.
It's also too small for Hank.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Are you...
Hank, it looks fantastic.
So, you think I look ridiculous?
Oh.
Only a little.
That's a hell of a thing to say, Benedict.
I mean it with love.
Say that.
He said worse. Trust me.
Yeah. So what's the deal here, guys? What do we... You guys are back
out here
on the
street. Let's head towards the palace.
Okay.
Straight to the palace. The only way out is through. They'll never expect us going down Main Street.
They'll never expect it.
I feel like we're going to run into some trouble, so we should maybe be prepared.
Keep wits about us. And Busiek dual-wield the pistol and axe.
You got a boss.
Dual-wielding. Yeah. And I would say as you guys go, there's a...
Busiek will take point.
Busiek leading the way?
Yeah, Busiek will take point.
He is the leader, after all. So
fine by me. I just know it means vanity points rolled. Hank whispers under his breath.
Right. Going a little
insane. He is like the experienced one, and Busiek has the young gun.
Yeah.
And he's just like casually with axe slung around shoulder, pistol in the other hand, kind of like walking down, I don't know what street we're walking down. You describe that.
Main.
Well, yeah, and I think that as you guys are going down, it's very, very clear that though maybe the area you guys crashed was mostly put together, that the combat that you're hearing in the distance has visited this area. Like there's one point in time you go down a street that seems fairly straight, and you get to just a building that appears to have toppled completely sideways, just completely blocking your way. You turn back, head around, you know, and it seems pretty dense as far as a city goes. It's basically, you know, building to building. So Busiek, go ahead and give me a sanity check.
Sure.
So make sure he's on the brink of sanity like all of us.
Right. We gotta bring him down to the rest of us.
That's a failure. 98 over 66.
Okay.
What is that classic paratrooper song?
Blood Upon the Risers?
Blood Upon the Risers. That was da-da-da-da-da.
Yep.
Yes. That's what... He is singing as he is walking through these streets.
Why does he know Blood Upon the Risers? That's not
because
important.
His dad sang it to him as a lullaby when he was a kid.
Do you know anyone like that?
Again, character bleed happening day.
Character bleed. Yeah, Blood Upon the Risers. Google it. It's a real eye opener into the culture of the airborne. So you're going along, and at some point in time, you guys are going, and you find one of these debris fields where it, as you look up, you might actually be able to see part of what looks like a plane has collided into a building, and you can see the tail of the plane sticking out. And not only that, the plane appears to be on fire. Like, it is burning right now. You don't know when this happened necessarily, but there's like, it's not like a conflagration. Like, there's like a small fire catching. And as you guys are moving forward,
I'm gonna roll a I'm gonna roll two dice here real quick. Boop boop boop. Boop and oh Christ. Oh no. There is the sound, a sudden pop, the unmistakable pop of a small caliber weapon. And right, like, in between all three of you guys are probably pretty spread out. Just like, blam, you see where a bullet hits the concrete. And there might just be only, like, one street light there, just giving enough light for you guys to really move around. And I assume you guys do indeed scatter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's
get out of
Hank, cover. Hank hits the deck and, like, crawls towards some cover.
Yeah.
It's not difficult, you know, and the weird thing is, as you guys have been here, you've seen a mishmash of different vehicles on the street. When I say vehicles, I mean that in the broad term, not just cars. Also, it looks like horse-drawn carts and stuff like that. Like, it's no horses, you know, and the vehicles are definitely old-timey, but odd. They don't exactly ring true for old cars that you've seen. But yeah, so you guys all die for cover.
Well, no.
No?
Busiak is just, strolling down the street saying, "Gory, gory, what a hell of a way to die." Gory. And then pop! And he just, like, looks over. And he sort of drops his axe down to the asphalt. And goes over to the sound where it came from.
You go toward it. It is actually, It is this building that has this plane sticking out top of it. And well, actually, now I already said it now. It appears to have come from the second floor, which is directly below where the plane is embedded in the wall.
Yeah.
So, who's that? Have you already lost your marbles? That was gunfire.
Dragging his axe on the ground. Maybe singing under his breath, "Gory, gory, what a hell of a way to die."
Hank, we gotta move up.
"Gory, gory, what a hell of a way to die."
We need to support him.
Another pop! And the round goes whizzing by Busiak.
Hank, do you think we need to charge him?
Shit. No, stay down. And Hank tries to aim. See if he could get a shot at whoever's shooting out of the second story.
You're going to need to roll an alertness. This upper part of this building is, like, filled with smoke and stuff like that.
Success.
You see very, like, just very thinly, like in a wedged in behind and kind of back from one of the windows, you maybe see what appears to be a pistol poke out of the window, you know, which is, you know, you wouldn't normally do that, so that's a little odd, as another round pops off at Busiak, him walking slowly and scarily towards the building. This is going to fail with a critical failure. The shot that is shooting at Busiak. Busiak, you look up at this point, and you see this pistol aimed down towards you, and it pop, and then you see the hand is shaking, and it actually loses grip of the pistol, and it clatters down at your feet. And you see now that the pistol is covered in blood.
Busiak will pause and stop singing and get down on his haunches. And pick up the pistol and sort of examine it. And then look up where it came from.
You look up and you do not see anything or hear anything. It's a really odd pistol. It's got this big, instead of the rounds going in the loading in a magazine, like at the base of the hand grip, it actually loads forward of the trigger guard. Like, it loads up like this. It's an odd thing. Odd pistol. You've never seen it. I don't know if Busiak really knows anything about guns.
He doesn't. But he sort of takes the pistol in between his forefinger and thumb and hangs it up. And he's like, Hank, I got a present for you.
Hank, we need to go. We need to support him. It looks like that was a misfire. Let's go.
Okay, we run up there.
Yeah. When Benedict sees this, what is Benedict's military science and history?
It's very good.
Again?
Ish. 41. History is 51. Military science, 41.
This is a red 9.
Oh, that's a red 9 there.
Yes.
What does that mean?
Haven't seen one of those since my days studying archaic weaponry from the British military.
Yes. Or, I'm sorry, is it red 9 or is it C? Anyway, yes. It's an old German pistol.
And Busiak tosses it to Hank.
Yes, yeah, you now have a
this
red belt,
this belt. Well, Hank will look up. He's like, "We don't want any trouble. Come on out."
If you're yelling up, like, I need you to make me some type of alertness check. You want to get something out of this?
Okay. Success.
Okay. You hear light groaning.
I think someone's dying up there.
I'm sorry, the Red 9 doesn't actually exist. It's actually a different pistol. Uh-huh.
Just lies. But, yes. Constant stream of lies from Joe.
It's a Mauser. It's an old Mauser.
Just lies.
It's an old, we need weird help Mauser this, pistol.
Hank,
is a line of continuity that you choose to pursue.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, guys.
In the secret Red city, 9. This gun. This
Hank, we should probably help him. He's probably down. We can maybe use
try
him.
To kill us. Well, let's go be alert when we go up there. Are you with us, yeah, Busiak?
Busiak hefts his axe, and he's still just singing under his breath. Glory, glory, what a hell of a way to die. Jesus,
that's so creepy. Busiak, be cool, man.
Be cool, okay, you're freaking, my guy.
You're freaking out the listeners.
Sorry.
By the way, Benedict, that's not a red 9. That doesn't exist.
Yes, well, but did you now know it's a Mauser C96?
Yeah. Joe,
I don't want to say nothing.
Express
the red 9
failure.
Ain't nothing.
That's my fumble coming in through Joe.
Right.
Well, Hank will lead the way and slowly make his way up to the second floor, checking corners and whatnot.
Yes. You make your way up and checking your corners. I will, like, give me some type of roll, some type of cool guy does things, tactically roll, maybe even a stealth roll or something like that if you're trying to be real chill about it.
Cool. Okay.
Don't talk to me.
Hank, rolls. Ah!
What did you do? A 99.
Oh my god, Hank.
On stealth, to be clear. On being a cool guy.
On being a real cool guy.
Hank rolls, but he rolls over broken glass and a squeaky duck bath toy.
And a toy chicken.
Just every time he steps, there's a duck. Just wank, wank, wank. Which is like one of those like naval klaxons, just like wah, wah, wah. Yeah. Alright, you're going up these stairs and you really fuck it when it comes to being quiet. You know, maybe even like there is a bit where there is this fire going on above you, and maybe there's like some debris that falls down and Hank's like, fuck, you know, like part of it hits him. By the time you get up, you see that there is a what appears to be like a bedroom door, and it's closed. And you think this is where the guy was.
Busiak, there's a closed
time
door
for the
you.
Axe.
This is your speciality.
What a perfect time for the axe.
Well, well, well.
And we don't have an angle grinder.
And yeah. yeah, Busiak goes fully into it.
It only takes, like, I'm not even going to make you roll. You have all the time in the world. Like, nothing that, like, real bad looks like it's going on. You swing, and you just take just like the whole knob just completely off, just wah, wow, and the whole door just like, and maybe Busiak kicks it or whatever, it slams open. You see in front, or sitting with his back to the wall, his hand on his upper right chest with a large, gaping wound, wearing what looks to be like a leather flight cap, is a man, and he is rasping and breathing. He looks to be some type of pilot. And Benedict tells you very quickly, this is not just any pilot. This is a member of the Luftwaffe from World War II.
Luftwaffe who?
Yeah, the Germans. The Germans, man.
Wie ist Deutsch?
Does Hank say that?
Yeah.
Does he say speakeasy Deutsch? Is that what he says?
Speakeasy Deutsch.
If the word Deutsch comes out of your mouth, there is a as he looks up weakly, and he's pale. Oh, he's very pale.
Busiak, let's stabilize him, man.
You know, Busiak has been singing this song under his breath the whole time. Gory, gory, what a hell of a way to die. And when he kicks the door open, he's just like, he sees this person, he's like, shit, what a hell of a way to die.
Shit.
He like rushes in and does first aid on him.
Okay, what did the other two of you do?
Yeah, we covering.
Covering.
Like, you have your weapons on the guy?
Yeah.
No, not necessarily on the guy. He doesn't have anything on him, right?
I've got my weapon on the guy.
Both of, not Busiak. The other two of you, roll an alertness.
Oh, this is a trap, isn't it?
Success.
43.
Is that a success for both of you?
Mm-hmm.
He has something clutched. He is not just merely clutching at a wound. He has something clutched in his hands.
God damn it.
Oh, God.
Busiak, as you move forward, he says something in German. Something that I will not say here, because it will certainly get us kicked off of any platform.
No.
Okay.
But nonetheless, he says it.
It starts with an H and starts with an H as well.
H, yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
That's what I inferred as well.
Busiak, get back! And Benedict's gonna try and like grab him.
Okay, roll me some type of strength check or something like that. As a grenade
failure
exits the hands. I think that because Hank also saw it, I think Hank also gets a turn. Gets a chance to pull Busiak back quickly. Oh, wait, is he going to choose to, though? That's the question.
Oh,
well, I was thinking about throwing the grenade somewhere else, or kicking it at the very least.
No, but he's got it in his hand, isn't he?
Yeah, well, he's got it, and we'll say, like, we say he drops it, right? So if you want to do something really awesome and, like, stick it in his mouth and roll him out the window, like, you know.
Hank wants to describe it. Go.
In my mind, what happened was the door opened. The guy said something. Busiak rushed in. Mid-rush, the guy revealed that he had a grenade in his hand.
He drops the grenade. Okay.
So Busiak is like currently rushing in.
Okay.
Benedict tried to grab but failed.
And failed. I will give Busiak an opportunity. We'll say that these two were like, you know, maybe Hank or Benedict. He's like, grenade! You know, or something. So I will give both Hank and Busiak an opportunity to do something.
Go ahead, Busiak.
What are you gonna do, Dace?
How's your dodge? I don't know if dodge is the right
what
one.
What can you... So, my logic there was, like, his firefighter instincts took over, and he saw somebody in need of medical help, and he rushed in forward to try to help them.
So you're right. You can go ahead and roll that first aid check and see how much you can heal him before this grenade goes off.
So sneaky. Well, sneaky thank you for heal. That, Joe.
Just real quick. You tell me what you do. This is like a bedroom. So there's like a bed on one side, and he's like sitting beside, like with a side table. You got anything, Brad? You want to go ahead?
I'm going to dodge. Hank's like hurting. He doesn't think he has the strength to do anything crazy.
Okay.
Or is that what I should do? Just to like.
I figure we're outside the room, right?
Well, yeah. Benedict's not.
Okay.
Good Benedict job. Tried to get Busiak.
Fair.
Okay.
Hank got a success on the dodge.
Okay.
This is difficult because I already expressly said that I was rushing in. What if I were to make a check? Like, mid-rush in... I realized what was going on. What if I were to make like a dex check to try to grab the grenade and throw it out the window?
I like it. It's dangerous. It might kill you.
Fuck, that's so dangerous.
It's extremely dangerous because I have a dex of 10. Jesus. This is a 50-50 gamble.
Could you convince me to... if you can convince me to use something else, I might
He's
consider
rushing.
It.
He's rushing, so maybe he could get a plus 20 or a 40. Like, he's got momentum.
He really wants to do this.
He really wants he to not be blown 40. Up. Are there any other skills that you like more?
Man, I'm looking.
Athletics.
Athletics. I think athletics actually does make a little bit of sense.
It makes a ton of sense because an athlete, baseball,
because is athletics. Because baseball.
Say no more.
That's
and
that's
grenades it. Are baseballs.
And he has a baseball bat with a big blade on the front of it,
which to some is known as an axe. Yes.
Yeah, if I crit. I'll throw the grenade up and then bat it out the window with my fireman's axe.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, this is... I don't want to lose this guy.
How do you feel about this, Joe? Athletics?
Do it. Roll it.
Plus?
All right, I'm going to...
Success. 28.
Yes.
28 under 64.
Busiak.
Holy shit.
Busiak, he's already leaned forward. Like, and I imagine maybe even you saw this guy... You know, like you saw a guy, maybe Busiak was almost on his way, like with the axe down to the ground, like to put the axe down. He's like on his way down to like kneel in front of this guy to begin to render aid. He says something terribly unfashionable and drops this grenade right in front of Busiak. And Busiak, without a moment's hesitation, Busiak looks down, snatches it up right out the window. Just right out the window, and then, and that
it's
sharp.
One of it's the large, you know, the fucking.
Wow, like the potato masher grenades, yeah.
The potato mashers, yeah.
And it's a perfect spiral.
And there's
perfect spiral.
And there's a
the
basketball goal, like out, like on the other side of
the
street,
net.
and it hits the net and bounces around and falls down. And it's rad.
No. Don't be ridiculous.
But unfortunately, there is a nest of puppies.
This was not a crit.
And they're all exploded.
Yeah, that does not be ridiculous. So yeah, it goes out, and that there's that sharp snap, that bam, you know, as the grenade goes off and the dust falls around you, and.
Jesus.
This soldier, this pilot, you know, here, you know, he lets out what you believe to be a death rattle. And just... and just that last gasp, you know, you can't even imagine. And looking at his wound now, Busiak, you don't even know. You're surprised that he was able to shoot at you at all with how extreme this is. He's obviously completely exsanguinated.
God damn it.
Holy
Busiak, you just...
Crap.
Saved our asses again.
I'm gonna have to utilize my athletics in a crazy situation next time.
Yep.
An even more crazy
That's
situation.
Just, I don't know really like sort of how long you guys been in this sort of situation, but that's just like kind of how it goes sometimes. Like,
Jesus, he's so cool. He's so,
so damn
this place
cool.
is fucking bad.
Very insightful.
This place sucks.
So, you know, I think that's probably for our first foray into the secret city. I think that's actually probably a good place to go ahead and stop.
Before we
you
stop,
guys.
Joe.
Go ahead.
I have a bingo card to play. And do you think for a fireman
Jesus.
To go and run and take a grenade and throw it out the window, do you think that's like, do you think that's joking worthy?
No.
Do you think that kind of fireman behavior,
no.
lobbing a grenade when everybody's in peril, is in character?
Okay, here's the thing. I give jokins when I feel like it. Okay?
That
you know,
was awesome.
Okay, John, there's a reason it's on the bingo card. I think that people should get advantages for doing crazy shit that puts their character in danger that really makes good story.
Yeah.
So, Dace, say thank you to John.
Yes.
Say it. Say
what
it.
What a little power-hungry bitch.
I will not. Fuck you and fuck your system.
No joking for you.
Fuck all the systems. Anti-disestablishmentarianism. Fuck your joker.
Dace takes the joker
system
and puts it in his mouth
all.
And chews it.
Why is
and
he
spits out the joker.
All right. You can write down a joking.
Yes.
Okay. Well, thank
that
you, John.
Was epic.
Thank you, Joe.
No, I'm sorry. Yeah. Like,
no,
you
that was
gambled
really good.
Your entire character that we all fell in love with, and you came out okay.
Right.
And saved everyone.
Some of us have fallen in love with.
Not everybody.
Just a bit of a man crush.
All right. Everyone listening, everyone watching, thank you so much for joining us. I am so glad you guys have made it into. I'm glad you guys have made it into the old Yatil, into Carcosa itself, and things are getting a little weird, you know.
Got Nazis. We officially have a Nazi now.
You have
Nazis.
Now
it's not
you
a
have
Nazi.
Nazis. But all right. But everyone listening and watching, thank you for joining us. Listen, if you want to get everything a week early. Head over to Patreon, support us there. It's in the link wherever you're watching. It's just $3, really helps us. Thank you so much. And I will say, I actually think we can go ahead and share this now. Or you know what? I'm going to share it next time. We have character art for Busiak.
Yes.
And
yeah.
Ooh, is it spicy?
It's fucking sick.
It is sick. But I will. We're gonna take a break here. For those of you who are watching live, we're gonna take a break. We'll be back. I'll share that and make sure to get it posted up to the Reddit and stuff like that too. But guys, thank you so much. Doing a great job.
Thank you, Joe.
And everyone,
yeah, I got you, man.
Everyone watching live, stay tuned. We will be right back. Everyone else, we will catch you next time. And remember, as always, stay safe and stay sane. Bye.